in the beautiful set of chumashim that the Chabad have put out, Kol Menachem, in the beginning of every one of the Sfarim, in the beginning of every one of the Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, they have the same saying, and it's so beautiful. They say, in the early years of his leadership, the Alter Rebbe declared publicly, "We have to live with the times." Through his brother, the Maril, the senior Hasidim discovered that the Rebbe meant that one should live with the Parsha of the week and the particular Parsha of the day. One should not only study the weekly Parsha, but live it. I really feel that's so true when I look at Sefer Vayikra, as we're about to read, and I think of where we are today, how relevant this Parsha is, and how every single time I look at a Parsha, I could look at it on a Monday, and it means something, and then I look at it on a Tuesday, and it means something else, certainly when I look at it year to year. That's the beauty and the majesty of the Torah, that it's a living Torah. It changes as we change. And as we sit here today, and I think about Pesach coming up very shortly, and I think about the Makos that we read about that happened in Mitzrayim, and I always say to myself, if indeed this part of Jewish history, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is really the quintessential part of the beginning of when we begin to understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I think about some of the movies I would watch, the movies of the great Roman Empire and the Roman legions, and I say to myself, these great armies, Alexander the Great, conquered the world. Could you imagine if those armies were around today with their shields and their catapults and their million men? They would be defeated in about one day by any army in the world, by any air force in the world. How relevant would they be? They wouldn't be relevant. But yet, when we think about the Makos, and we think about the Makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inflicted on Mitzrayim, these Makos would live on forever. Could you picture what life would be like today if we had Choshech, an absence of light? Imagine a world totally dark. No light, regardless of what kind of flashlight or powerful light you use, you couldn't penetrate the darkness. What would happen after a day or two or a week or a month? The world would collapse. We would not be able to deal with it. Could we deal with lice? Could we deal with wild animals? Could we deal with Makos Bechoros, a plague, when all of a sudden all of the firstborns die? As we sit here today, many of us confined to our homes, wondering about this invisible army that we're fighting, this virus that we're fighting. We can't fight it. We're trying to figure out what to do now. So when God gave us these Makos, he understood they were for all times. And that's why we talk about them all the time, because the Makos had to be something that would endure forever. But then as I read Parshas Vayikra, which really has to do with the Mishkan, and we hear about the Mishkan and all the karbanos that people would give in the Mishkan, why do we really need a Mishkan in the time of the Midbar? After all, the people who lived in the Midbar experienced miracles every single day. When they woke up in the morning, there was man. They had the Esh. They had the Anane HaKavod. They had everything. So why did they need a Mishkan, a place to congregate, a place to get together? There are many, many reasons for it. When we talk about later on in the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Soloveitchik talks about how it was a place where people could come together, where they can gather, they could socialize. They would get to meet other people, people who lived in other communities. So they wouldn't be as narrow-minded. They would be open to new ideas and new suggestions. But what about in the Midbar? Why did they need a Mishkan? Why was it important? And I think one of the reasons is because all of us need a place sometimes to go to say, I'm sorry. I did something wrong. You see, the Mishkan, in a way, was really a healing process. It was a place where you can go and you could say, I was wrong. I did something unintentional. I didn't mean to do that, but I did it. And because of that, I have to find a kapara. And when we look at the Parsha, and we look at what happens in the Parsha, we see something which is so interesting. Because the Parsha talks about people who are going to give a karban. And when they're going to give a karban, the term is always used, v'im, and if it happens that they have to give a karban, v'im. And when it says that, it means it's not always going to happen, it's not a guarantee, but if it does happen, im ha-kohen ha-moshiach yechata, if the high priest is going to have, unfortunately, an unintentional sin, v'im kaladas Yisrael, and if all of the Jewish people are also going to have a sin. And why are they having this sin, by the way? So interesting, because they followed the ruling of the Sanhedrin, and it was a mistake. And because in order to rectify this mistake, what has to happen? The Torah tells us, v'hikrivu hakohol. Everyone has to give, or someone has to give on behalf of everyone. They have to give a karban. And yet, further on in the Parsha, not that far away, and really the very next part, the Torah tells us something very interesting. Because the Torah doesn't tell us the im and if, when they talk about the leader, the nasi, the language is changed completely. The Torah says, Asher nasi yechata. It could be interpreted if the leader will sin. But I think a more correct interpretation is when the leader sins. Because you see, if you're a leader, fortunately or unfortunately, you're going to make decisions that are probably not right, many times unintentional. But what do you do? How do you rectify that? And Rashi, understanding this, says something really totally amazing. Rashi says, Asher nasi yecheta, when a ruler sins, Lashon Ashrei. The word Asher here is related to Ashrei, fortunate. Ashrei hador. Shehanasi shelo nosein leiv lahavi kapora al shigegaso. Fortunate is the generation whose leader sees in his heart to bring a karban for an unintentional sin that he may have had. Kal v'chomer, of course, shemischaret al zidon nosav. Certainly, he's going to regret when he has an intentional sin. The Orachayim, talking about this, expands on it just a little bit. And the Orach Chaim says, in addition, you might think if the word was im, it was if it happens, it means in a specific situation. No, the Orach Chaim says, the word is not for a particular time that it happens. Anytime it happens, the leader, the ruler is obligated, even if he acted on the reliance of the Beis Din, and the Beis Din told them to do something, if they're wrong, once again, unintentional, then he has to bring a karban. And that's why the Orach Chaim says the Torah uses the word asher, not just im. And they bring, of course, the Gemara in Horias, when the Gemara just tells us, and they bring the same thing Rashi talked about, Tana Rabbanan, asher nasi yechateh, when a ruler will sin unintentionally. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehanasi shalomevi karban ashikagoso, that the ruler who will bring a karban when he is making an unintentional sin, certainly he's going to bring it when he has an intentional sin. Of course he will. But what is it all together? How do you put it together? It still doesn't always make sense. Why do they use this term of Asher, which Rashi says, Ashrecha, praise, fortunate. Could you imagine? Fortunate is the generation whose leader makes a sin. And Rashi says and tells us how lucky we are. Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he talks about this, trying to understand why is it that we use the word asher right now, in this particular time, when we're talking about making a mistake, of a leader making a mistake. And he says so beautifully, he says, the word asher, that, it connects two different ideas. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, we're connecting. This word is being used. God purposely did not use the word im, he used the word asher to connect both stories. The story of the communal sin, the karban for the kohal, and the karban for the individual, for the nasi. And he says it so beautifully in this chumash, when he really tries to explain why is it, he says, that we have these two ideas that are connecting one and the other. And he goes on to explain that the connection is really very, very simple. You would imagine, he says, if the kohol sinned, why did they sin? They sinned and erred in judgment on a matter of Jewish law, leading the people to sin inadvertently because their rabbis told them. At first glance, he says, this would seem to be more of the Sanhedrin's sin than the people. After all, the people were innocently following the directive of their rabbis, a practice which is dedicated by the Torah itself. And yet, we find that the kohol has to give the karban, which is really amazing. And then we connect it to the nasi, when the nasi has to give a karban also. In other words, he says, when the people will see that they're leaders of the Jewish people who do something unintentionally, they will realize that unintentional sins are also serious matters. And just like they have to give, the leaders have to give, the people have to give also. That they connect one with the other. This is all part of the tshuva process, because we all make mistakes. No one is infallible. There is no one in the world who has never made a mistake. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz. And so therefore, when this happens, we have to understand that we have to begin a different process of tshuva. Because tshuva is a process. And we don't know today when we look around in the world. I am not trying to figure out, nor do I think it's wise to sit and figure out, why are we now in this situation? I don't want to talk. People talk about we had Lashon Hara and things like that. I don't know. I'm not that smart. I cannot figure that out. That is beyond anything I'm capable of, I know. But we know that we have to begin a process of tshuva. And we know that tshuva works. We learn it from when we have the Yom and the Rayim. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avira nesrora ha'gezera. And when we begin a tshuva, we're now sitting and we're getting notes about having fasting, and we should, and more tefillah. And of course, more tzedakah in these days when people have lost their jobs and the economic situation is so dire. But we have to begin with the tshuva process, with tshuva. Tshuva is really understanding. What is the first part of tshuva? We understand that we have to look at what happened to us. We have to understand that tshuva begins in a process when we look at the past, and we try to understand what did we do wrong? What happened that we did wrong? And I think that for many of us, and I'm including myself in this speech, that we all knew 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, about this virus. We all understood the implications and ramifications of what this can do. We watched what happened in China. We watched what happened in Italy. We knew how dangerous it was. And yet, so many of us took it so casually, unintentionally. There's not a person here, God forbid, chas v'shalom, that ever wanted to injure anyone. But we didn't take it seriously enough to understand what are the ramifications of what we do. I myself know I went shopping in a supermarket. And it was crowded. It's true, they tried to do the best they could, but I knew it was crowded. We weren't keeping 6 feet apart, and people were walking around together. I probably shouldn't have gone. And this past week, when I was taking my exercise and going for a walk, I saw there was a wedding outside, and I went to see what was going on. Even though I know that they said we shouldn't have more than 10 people, but I was curious to see what was going on. There's not a person out there that hasn't, during this period of time, thought about what we could have done better in the period when all this was going on. And this is part of the tshuva process. And so therefore, the Torah tells us, Asher nasi yechata, when the nasi does a sin, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe connects it to when we in the kohol, it makes no difference whether you're a Rosh Yeshiva or a Rebbe or a Rav. It makes no difference if you're a regular balabas or a regular person. All of us during this period of time need to sit back and look and be honest with ourselves and say, in order for this process to unfold, we have to begin with tshuva, and we have to say, we did something wrong. During the last 2 weeks, we weren't as serious as we should be. And we wish we had. We wish we had a Mishkan now, exactly like the time in the Midbar, when we can go and give a Karban Chatas, and we could say, I'm sorry. But we don't have that. We don't have that ability. And so what do we have to do? We have to do the best we can. We have to say to our friends, we have to say to the community. People post things today all day long. You're getting things on Twitter and Instagram and your email. Maybe we should all post and say, we did something wrong during the last 2 weeks. And maybe, let's ask for forgiveness for what we did in the past. That's always the first part of tshuva. Charata ala avar, what did we do wrong? Because I know personally, I could think of things I did wrong. I could think of things I should have done the last 2 weeks. I should have been more serious. I should have been more careful. But okay, that's part of life. We tried. Nobody here, God forbid, will ever do anything intentionally. But by keeping a shul open, by keeping a school open, by having minyanim outside, by having a simchas where more people came, who knows? You see, we don't know. We don't know what the ramifications of that are. We have no idea of a person who came to our shul that was open, or a school that stayed open too long, or yeshiva that stayed open, or a meeting we had, or a dinner we had, or a wedding we had. We have no idea, but we're all responsible. And this is what the Torah is telling us here. It's the Nasi is responsible, and the Kohal is responsible. Let's just not say, well, the rabbi said it was okay, therefore let's do it. No. We ourselves have to assume responsibility. That's the beauty of what the Parsha of Vayikra is teaching us based upon what the Lubavitcher Rebbe just said. We're connecting those two things together, that all of us have a responsibility. Yes, the person may be making that wedding and the wedding was too big. They have a responsibility. They're considered the Nasi. But we too, the people who went, the people who walked, myself walking by when I shouldn't have walked by, I'm also responsible. That's really what we're talking about here. Because when you look at the very end of that whole story of the Nasi, it ends in the most beautiful way possible with the words, V'nislach lo, that God will forgive us. And that's what we're asking for now. We don't know why this is happening. We have no idea. But we know we want Hashem's rachamim. That's what we want. And so I suggest that maybe now, during this terrible time, this time that we're trying to figure out what we're doing, let's look at the Parsha of Vayikra. Let these words come alive to us. And let's try to understand why the Torah used Asher Nasi. Let's try to understand why Rashi said Ashrecha Yisrael. Praise be the people of Israel that has a generation where their leaders and the kol could come together and say, we did something wrong. And now we want to ask for forgiveness. It's the first part of tshuva. And let us hope that if we look at tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, we're going to be doing them. Let's start with the tshuva part. And let's understand what we did. And now let's move on to the tefillah. Let's move on to the tzedakah. And let's start to begin to see, as we're seeing, tremendous achdus in Klal Yisrael. Organizations getting together that never got together. This is bringing us closer together. Unfortunately, it's always during tzaras that we get together. Let's hope this is the beginning of where it's not just tzaras, but it's going to be for good things. In a few weeks, God willing, when this thing cuts and move away, and all of a sudden now, let's see if we can use it as a springboard to what we can do. That's what the parsha is about. And that's why when we look at a parsha every single week, it's not something that happened. It's not a story that happened 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. It's a living Torah, something that happened now. And let's understand, Ashrecha, let's be a dor where we have Ashrecha. Ashrecha for our leaders, Ashrecha for ourselves, that recognizes that maybe we did something wrong in the last 2 weeks, and now we're asking for forgiveness for something we did unintentionally. We didn't mean to hurt anyone, but unfortunately we probably did. And if we come together as a group, I believe that the last part of the pasuk, the nistachla, will happen. And yes, Hashem, let's try to take this parsha of Vayikra, let's use it as a living Torah, and let's use it to go to the next strength, and let's use it to figure out a way of beating what's going on today in the world and having the world become back to what we knew it was before, a different world of tranquility, a world Shek Shabbos, and Shabbos comes, it's a Shabbos that we can walk outside, we can go to shul, and we can see our friends. Let's hope and pray, if we follow the words of Vayikra, we understand Ashrecha, Ashrecha Yisrael, and Yitz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will enter our tefillos. Have a good Shabbos.